Does anybody remember the movie Sliding Doors? Kind of an odd movie there. It was made in 1998. It was based in England, was the setting for the story. Here's a summary that I found online for that. Helen Quilley, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, gets fired from her public relations job. As she leaves the office building, she drops an earring in the lift, and a man picks it up for her. She rushes for a train on the London Underground, but misses it as the train doors are closed. But then the film rewinds, and the scene is replayed, except that now she manages to board the train. The film continues, alternating between the two storylines, in which different events ensue. Well, I remember watching this movie with my friend Jimmy, and it came out on video at the time. That was when we would actually go to a store and pick up a video and come back. And, all right, just so you know, we didn't always stream. All right. Back then, stream was where you go fly fishing. All right. All right, so anyway, I remember watching that. It was kind of a weird and frustrating movie because I had to keep track of two storylines. I had to keep going. Okay, which one are we in now? Stuff like that. It's kind of like watching two movies at the same time. Well, although it was really confusing, it did stick with me because of how it connected with something that we all think about. What if we took a different course because of one incident? What if I stopped at a yellow light instead of pulling through the intersection? What if I got up instead of hitting the snooze button? That extra 5-10 minutes, would that have made a big difference? How would the chain of events happen from that moment forward? You know, I remember several times being caught in the red light and then later seeing a wreck that I was almost part of. I would have been in that wreck if it wasn't for that light that caught me. You know, sometimes I wonder if God may have allowed me to be delayed in order to protect me from something like a wreck, something like that. Kind of reminds me of the Garth Brooks song, Unanswered Prayers, where God says no. Sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait, because the timing isn't right. Gotta wait for the right time. Well, that's when we have to remember that God's timing is always right. God's timing is always right. And that's what we're going to be talking about during Christmas this year. Our Christmas sermon series is called The Fullness of Time. And I know we've heard this phrase, in the fullness of time, Christ has come to earth. So go ahead and take our Bibles out. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. That's page 974 in the Pew Bible, if you want to look it up that way. But Galatians 4, 4 through 6 is our text today. Now, this is a Christmas series that's going to be focusing on the context of Jesus' birth. What was going on during this time that prompted God to move? Why at that point? Why did Jesus decide to show up during the first century in the Mediterranean world? What about the culture, the religions, the political climate of that time? They were all working together to present this perfect moment for God to enter the world and save us from ourselves. Well, in order for salvation to happen, we must first have Christmas. And this Christmas happened in the fullness of time. So let's take a look. Of Galatians chapter 4, and what I'm going to do today is I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 so we can kind of get a big picture of what's going on in this passage here. So, Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 7. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the fact that your timing is always right. And I pray that you'll help us today as we take a look and see exactly why you chose this moment for Jesus to come into this world. I pray that you'll be with us through the sermon today. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what we see here in the first couple of verses is that Paul is trying to say that, you know, a child growing up doesn't have everything that it's entitled to. You know, you don't gain your freedom yet because you're still developing. The time's not right. So as you're developing, as you're growing, then you get a little more and more responsibility, a little more and more blessings, and then eventually you are an adult and you're on your own. At that point, your childhood years, your period of growth is now at its fullness. The fullness of time, you become an adult. So he's making that parallel to Jesus coming at Christmas. Jesus came at the fullness of time. So everything was building up to this point. And now at this point, it is time for Jesus to be here so that we can be adopted as sons. So what we're going to do, today we're going to take a look at the right place and the right time, as we see the first part of that section there, the fullness of time. So let's talk about this right place. Why at that point? Why the Mediterranean world? You know, it's interesting when we go and study the archaeology of that whole area. You know, we tend to just focus on what the Bible pointed out, but really, the Bible was only one small section of what was happening over there. Because just beside the Roman Empire was an empire called the Seleucids, the Seleucid Empire. And then you also have Asians along with that on the other side there. So you have several other, you know, nations going on besides the one that we have. Mediterranean world is where we focus, but there were other areas of the world populated already. So it wasn't like everything was just happening right there. So why choose the Mediterranean world? Well, that's because that's where civilization began. The cradle of civilization. Mediterranean world is where everyone has access, and from the Mediterranean world, everyone else spread out. So you began with the Mediterranean world and worked your way out. So that's why Jesus chose that area. But more specifically, he chose Jerusalem. Why? Well, Jerusalem was a city on a hill. Jerusalem was easily seen by everything. Jerusalem is the spot where the temple was located. Jerusalem is where the Jews lived. So Jesus was a Jew. He was a Jew in Jerusalem, at the city of the hill, right in the middle of the Mediterranean world, so that they could affect the entire world from that one little spot on that hill, the city on a hill. So Jesus is there in Jerusalem because that's where civilization began. Now, I have a series of slides, but I'm not showing them here, but it is in a lesson when we talk about the Garden of Eden back in Genesis. And my working theory is that the Garden of Eden actually was located where Jerusalem is now. And I kind of, you know, take a look at the rivers and stuff and pre-flood where everything's connected and stuff, but I actually draw into that area, and I can see that's where it is. And that would really make sense because that is the promised land, and everybody's always fighting for Jerusalem. Everybody's always trying to get back to Jerusalem. So to me, that is the place where the Garden of Eden was. And if that's the case, that is literally where civilization began, because that's where the first man and woman were. So why choose a city on a hill? Well, that's because that's the beginning. Go back to the very beginning in order to start the new life that you're going to offer to the world. But more specifically than that, it's a tribe of Judah. Because you know the Jews are made up of the 12 tribes of Israel. You got to be located inside the tribe of Judah because that's where the kings came from. King David, his throne reigns forever and ever. So that being the case, Jesus has to be born into the tribe of Judah in order to take on the throne of David, to continue it on. So why the tribe of Judah? Well, God promised. Now here's something that's a little sticky though. I've been talking about Jerusalem, right? But Jesus was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. That wasn't a tribe, that wasn't Jerusalem, was it? No. Well, it's because the tribe of Judah moved out of Jerusalem. They moved over into Bethlehem. Eventually, they built up in Nazareth. Why? Because the corruption in Jerusalem was so great. The tribe of Judah, in order to preserve the throne of David and preserve their faithfulness, they were the faithful remnant over in Bethlehem, while everybody else was doing whatever in Jerusalem. So the right place at the right time, tribe of Judah, more in a spiritual sense, not just physically. I mean, yeah, he did come back to Jerusalem eventually, and he ended up dying on the hill of Golgotha. So, you know, the right place is Jerusalem in the Mediterranean world. But what about the right time? What was going on then? Well, during this time, the Greeks have already developed one culture to tie everyone together. They were the ones that came in. You know, you remember the Persian Empire released the Jews and let them go back to Jerusalem in order to rebuild. And now here comes the Greeks during this 400 silent year period between the Testaments. You remember Alexander the Great, how he went through and just basically annihilated everybody and just took over the whole Mediterranean world. Well, now the whole Mediterranean world is embracing the Greek culture. So you have one culture that works through in order to develop everybody, ties them all together. The Greeks have tied everyone together. But then the Roman Empire comes in, takes over, and they build a system of roads. They have roads that connect the entire Mediterranean world. You don't even have to be on a boat anymore in order to go from Rome down to Egypt. You could just travel these roads that were built all the way down. An amazing feat for the Roman Empire as they built everything and put it all together, connected the Mediterranean world. They were unified because of that. Well, in order to help with the religious side of things, the leaders in Jerusalem during this 400 silent years decided to develop a system of what they called synagogues. These were multi-purpose buildings that were all over the place in order to keep people from having to go back to Jerusalem every week. So in order to have their celebrations and their worship time, they would have these synagogues out there. So everybody would go out to these different synagogues, and the word was getting spread out. And then they would come back to Jerusalem for three feasts, but after that, you know, they would be spending time in their own hometowns. So the synagogue system was developed to help the Jews worship without having to travel to Jerusalem. The Jews stayed connected through the use of the roads and the synagogues in order to help them stay together, being faithful to the Lord. Now, the cool part about this is that Jesus used the synagogue system to build the churches. Where did they meet? Well, for a while they met in the synagogue, so they were kicked out. Then they had to use houses, graveyards, everywhere else. But he used that synagogue system. He sent the apostles to the areas where the synagogues were so that they could reach the Jews first. So this was the right time in the history of Jerusalem in order to show up. The right place was Jerusalem. The right time was during this time because the synagogue system was built, the roads were built, everybody was under the same culture. Everyone pretty much spoke Koine Greek, which was the language back then, which is kind of equivalent of English today, where you have foreign countries everywhere speaking English, right? Well, this is the Greek back then. They were all speaking together. They had Aramaic and they had the Koine Greek for writing down communications. Everything was together. Everything was primed and ready for Jesus to enter the world. But along with that, this was a time they really needed Jesus. Because corruption was at an all-time high. It was so widespread. They were all up inside the temple with false idols, all kinds of stuff going on. The priests, they would go and do their religious rituals in the temple, and then they'd go out to the other places and hang out with the Romans and just do whatever. Lord knows, we don't need to mention that kind of stuff here, but we know what was going on. Corruption was at an all-time high. Even though the synagogue system and everything was uniting everyone to be faithful. I wonder if we could draw a parallel. If we could connect them somehow. We have a system of churches today, don't we? All over the world. And corruption, yeah, I think corruption's at an all-time high again. So maybe we are at that right time to introduce Jesus to the world. Something to think about. But instead of Jesus coming in as a little baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger like he did before, instead he decides to come in through the church. Give us a reason to spread the word. Our situation is not much different than what was going on in the first century. The more things change, the more they stay the same. So perhaps it's time for us to introduce Jesus to everybody else. Well, we talked about the right place and the right time. Let's talk about this right person. Of course, Jesus was the right person for the job, right? God's Son, right? He is God, God in the flesh. God comes down. He is an incarnation, which of course is a fancy word for saying God living here in the flesh where we can see Him. God is with us, Emmanuel. He's here on earth, among us, living with us. At that time was a very special time because physically He was right there in order to show people exactly how to live. Because He was, you know, of course, He walked with them in the Garden of Eden. And then after that, He kicked them out and He was at a distance. Spoke to them through visions, through dreams. Then eventually He was audibly speaking to the prophets. And now here He is standing right in front of them. God with us. God right there. Almost like He's trying to bring us back to that Garden of Eden situation. Because He's walking among the people just like they did like in the Garden of Eden. He's trying to bring us back to that spot. What is that spot? The spot is salvation. He is saving us from ourselves. God came down at the right place. He came down at the right time. And He is the right person to save us because He's taking care of us. Right there. But not only that, He's also commissioning us. He saves us for a purpose. And that purpose is to get the word out that Jesus was born. That purpose is to get the word out that Jesus died for us. The purpose is for us to go out into every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people group. The purpose is for us to make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them all the commands that Jesus had taught. And He is right here with us every step of the way. So are we at the right place at the right time? I would think so. We have a little something called the internet that kind of ties the world together, right? If we can't get the word out using the internet, I don't know what we can do. We have the internet that could tie everybody together. In fact, that internet came in handy when the pandemic hit, right? Yes. Everybody shut down. We start using the internet, right? But here's my question, though. What have we done since then? I mean, yeah, the internet's great for getting the word out. The internet's great for tying people together. But what have we done since then? The synagogue system was created, and Jesus used that synagogue system in order to build the churches. But the churches did not stay with just that, did they? They continued to grow together. They continued to worship together. They ministered to each other. They grew together as a family. They used the synagogue system as a tool to get to where they needed to be, and that was growing the church, making disciples, baptizing, teaching them everything that God commanded. So what have we done today? The internet is a tool, yes, it is a great tool, it is a great resource, but what have we done with it? Have we stopped at just getting the word out? Have we stopped at just giving them the knowledge? Or have we followed through? Have we gotten to the heart of the issue? There's a lot of churches out there that we could probably classify as an internet church now. They have their online campuses, things like that. Some of them are great, and some of them actually do follow through, and they do get people through the doors eventually. But then there's those others that tend to just stop at online campus. They don't really go much farther than that. See, that's the challenge. How do we get people out there to become part of the family? Well, it takes bodies, not tools. We have to work together, use the tools to reach them, but then we also need to connect. What kind of connections are we making with our community around us? You know, there are a lot of people here in Greenwood. A lot of parked cars in the driveways on Sunday mornings. What are we doing? We could probably reach them through the internet. We could probably reach them through advertising, marketing. In fact, there's a lot of them we probably have already reached. But have we connected with them? Have we gone that next step? It's great to use the resources available. But what are we going to do with them? How much farther are we going? We are at the right place. We are at the right time. Because we could reach the world right now through the click of a button. But are we the right people? Are we the right people to make disciples, baptize and teach them everything that God commanded? God seems to think so. You want to know how I know? Because he's the one who gave us this great commission. He would not tell us to do it if he did not think we were capable. So we are at the right place. We are at the right time. Let's work on being the right people.